All right, you guys. So a week before Charlie lost his life, he expressed some concerns about the finances at Turning Point USA. In fact, he wanted to put together an entire department, a little mini department, to address those concerns. And we have evidence of that. It is always the advice when investigating any crime to, quote unquote, follow the money. So let's do that just a little bit here. Plus, there is a video that has gone absolutely viral. I am sure you have seen it. It was emailed to me many times where there is a theory that is being floated that Charlie was shot from the back. Now, there are two aspects in that video that we can debunk, and I want to do that. And there's one aspect that we cannot debunk clearly. I think this is a worldwide investigation, so I want to assist wherever it is that I can. So welcome back to Candace. There's a lot of leaking going on right now, and I've been very clear that everything in my soul has been screaming at me from the very moment that I found out that Charlie got shot, that this story is much bigger, that there just was something much bigger going on than what has thus far been presented to the public. You know, all of the wrong people are eulogizing him. They're lying about small things, which I don't like. Because why lie about small things? Only a guilty conscience of sorts lies about little things. And there are a few points that we have covered throughout the story that right away jumped out at me as odd. First and foremost, of course, Bibi Netanyahu over-inserting himself, not even just on day one, minute one. He tweeted before the president of the United States that Charlie had lost his life. That's weird. That's very weird, and we should not forget how weird that is, especially because when he went on multiple hits doing Fox News and Greta Van Susteren's show, he lied about the contents of a letter that Charlie Kirk had written him back in May. What I also don't like are the people like Josh Hammer and Seth Dillon, people that I know who are very nasty and work behind the scenes. I don't like that they have not yet been honest or forthcoming about the pressure that they and others were putting on Charlie Kirk. That just strikes me as odd. There's no reason to lie. No reason to pretend that you weren't doing that, to try to massage it and lie about it. I believe that there are lies by omission, and I view them both to be liars, okay? And of course, who could forget the word length of Bill Ackman's reply? I tell you guys about this weekend in the Hamptons. I tell you about Bibi Netanyahu calling Charlie Kirk and inviting him to Israel. And Bill Ackman replies with an essay, a college essay, 959 words to be precise, was his response to me speaking about that, where he himself did not actually address my point about the quote-unquote intervention, which is how Charlie described it himself, and my point about Bibi Netanyahu and the offer to take Turning Point to the next level financially. No one wants to address those points because I was being honest. People thought that Charlie's ideas were trending in the wrong direction. And by the way, regarding that now infamous weekend, the response videos that were made, which seemed like there was some sort of a PR crisis going on, the response tweets that were fashioned, they were sort of getting funny. Xavier DeRusso was there. I had reached out to him. He had, rather than answering me, messaged me to say, I am speaking out about that weekend. He made a video where he formally addressed the weekend and explained that, yes, Charlie, and he uses the phrase moral blackmail, Charlie spoke about feeling morally blackmailed, but this was done in more of a workshop setting, essentially like it was a debate club, and they were strengthening their debates on the topic of Israel. We can take a listen to Xavier DeRusso in his own words.
And then people are taking things out of context because there was like in the article, the hit piece that came out, it talks about how Charlie raised up his phone and had written on Twitter, and he said something like, BB needs to resign or something like that. And he goes, what would happen if I do this? There was discourse, and then there was one woman who sat in the back who said, if you do that, you're indirectly going to empower Hamas. And then Charlie was like, see, you have to stop saying like that. He was saying that when you are debating about Israel, you need to stop doing it emotionally. You need to do it logically and factually. Otherwise, you lose the debate. He said it is moral blackmail if you say that somebody saying that a politician is bad, that you're then empowering a terrorist organization. Fair argument.
It was a fair argument, but it also was a real argument. And you kind of removed the names that were involved in this conversation. Natasha Hausdorff was there. Seth Dillon was there. And Seth Dillon was the one that was applying pressure to him. And Seth Dillon and Josh Hammer didn't jump on him in that moment. We're not happy. They were not happy with Charlie at the end of this weekend in the Hamptons. Because, again, they saw which way the wind was traveling in terms of his positions on Bibi Netanyahu and Israel. And they were, in fact, being accusatory. And again, you don't have to take it in my words or Xavier's words. I've always had a friendly relationship with Xavier, but we should listen to Charlie's own words, which we have played multiple times, of what happened the day after this little weekend retreat where he vented to Megyn Kelly his frustrations with him being wrongly labeled anti-Semitic and how it was actually pushing him away and it wasn't good for Israel. Then in that one of the big questions that we discovered or that we asked and something that we had discovered was that this weekend was kept hush hush, which is extraordinarily unusual for a Turning Point event. If you're going to fly your influencers out, you want them to influence, obviously. And Xavier offered this explanation for why they didn't post about the weekend until they were rumbled about the weekend. Take a listen.
And then you have the people who are trying to go and say that, oh, then why was the meeting so secretive? The photos were already on my Instagram. The reason we didn't post that in the real time was because of safety. Do you know how many people would have loved to come and slaughter that whole hotel?
Feeling like Justin Bieber because it's not clocking for me. I'm sorry. So first off, you guys never connected to Turning Point USA publicly. The photos that you posted, if you posted it after the event, I don't think that it's because you were fearful that what, just being a conservative in the Hamptons was going to get you slaughtered? Like, were there Hamas tunnels under the Hamptons? That doesn't make sense. That makes entirely no sense. And we should call out how little sense that makes, especially because one of the influencers did post on August 6th that she was in the Hamptons, actually. Emily loves America, Emily saves America, pardon me, said when she was fighting with somebody about how little their engagement ring was during this weekend, how do you guys expect to have a house, land, and multiple kids? Be for real. Sorry, I'm MIA, I'm in the Hamptons. So are conservatives not allowed to be in the Hamptons without getting slaughtered? Or is it specifically conservative influencers? You said that it wasn't a pro-Israel event, so I guess there's no Israel angle here, which does, of course, there's tons of Zionists in the Hamptons, Bill Ackman among them. So I don't understand. You couldn't post that you were the Hamptons because you were going to get killed. How? I need more information there because that's just silly. And I also love the context of him doing this on PragerU's platform. I obviously worked for PragerU. I know Marissa Straight. I am looking at Marissa Straight right there, a little PR operation to address the points without actually addressing the points and to make it seem like it was nothing. And that's not the reality. You know, Marissa has never always been open about the fact that she worked for the IDF intelligence. And like I said, you could sense there was a PR panic when people started speaking about the weekend. I told you guys the truth. That's it. Okay. I don't like the fact that Charlie was literally facing financial threats over his speech, the thing that mattered most to him. Right? Fighting for free speech, even if you disagreed with somebody, you know, you got to make sure if they have a right to express their viewpoints. And what happened to me a year earlier seemed to be happening to him 1 year later. Another thing that I really do not like, and it is bothering me and is eating at me, is the fact that Turning Point will not release the footage. Okay. I don't understand it. Every excuse that I have been handed for why they won't release it makes no sense to me. If you are under pressure, if people are starting to look at you funny as an organization, if they're thinking that whether rightfully or wrongfully, if they are suspecting because they see this footage of someone quickly remove the SD cards that you guys had something to do with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and you quite literally have footage that in theory should vindicate yourself, why wouldn't you release it? Think about that. just in your own capacity. If somebody is saying you are guilty of anything, if they're like, Candace, you are absolutely guilty of breaking into my car. And I'm like, I have a camera right here that shows that I did not break into your car. Would it make sense if I was like, but I'm not going to release that. I'm not going to release that. Mm-mm. Because it's not right. It's not right for me to release. Like, what? It makes no sense. I don't understand why they would not release this. The idea that it's because, well, the feds are saying the feds cannot arrest you. Last I checked, the feds cannot bring charges against you for releasing footage that you own. And since when do we trust the feds? Certainly Charlie didn't. He didn't believe we were getting the truth about the Epstein files and things of that nature. So I don't accept that. That said, I also want to be clear that it doesn't mean that every single person that is continuing on in the organization is guilty of murder. I mean, I think we want answers, but we shouldn't be like, you know, this person's definitely a murderer because they're not providing the answers. You know, I've been speaking and I've been seeing a lot of vitriol that's been thrown at Andrew Kolvet's way because he is doing press. He is carrying on Charlie Kirk's show. He was already seated on Charlie Kirk's show. He was already there. And I was being genuine when I said he's under a lot of pressure. There's no question. He's the spokesperson for Turning Point USA, and he's grieving somebody that he knows and who was a very close, if not one of his best friends. He saw every day doing the Charlie Kirk show, and he's still got to deal with the same donors that Charlie was dealing with. I mean, it's a lot going on, you know? And until we have all the facts in front of us, until we actually see the footage, I think we should be careful in just thinking that everybody is guilty of something. I want you guys to also, though, be conscious of the lies that we are being told by the federal government, because that feels extremely guilty to me. We haven't received any updates whatsoever on the raid that took place of Lance's house where Tyler Robinson was living at the time of this crime. No update whatsoever on Lance. You know, he just completely fell to the wayside. So forget it. Forget asking any questions about Lance. And my instinct has always been that the feds injected themselves immediately into this case because they were staging a cover-up. And now I feel as though we can almost establish that as a fact when I tell you something else that happened here, my next point. So as you know, I have been positively obsessed with who killed Charlie Kirk because he was my friend. He was actually my friend. Everyone else who can eulogize all they want. Some of it felt a little cheap and fake and gay. But for me, this is real. So I had been hunting down all of the videos, all of the footage, and wanted to go back to ground zero, as we did yesterday, of the initial videos that went viral on social media and on X on the day that Charlie was assassinated. And it occurred to me that I forgot about one video. Actually, the only video that exists of the shooter sprinting across the rooftop a mere seconds after the shot was fired. Now, you probably recall that video in the back of your mind. You remember that video that was going viral of him seen running across the roof. Well, I'm about to show it to you in a much clearer quality than you have ever seen it, a higher quality than you have ever seen that video. Remember, before I show it to you, just to tee this up, it is just a couple of seconds after the sound of a shot rang out. Let's watch this together. And we're going to just cover that. It kind of looks like he's got something trailing behind him, too. Maybe that's the towel that we've been told about. We can play that again as you watch this. Now, let me tell you how I tracked down this footage. It took me all of 2 hours to track down this footage, to get the name of the person who had filmed the footage. And to from there, after messaging someone on Twitter, they said, I got the footage from this person. This is the person that shot it. And he's willing to speak to you. I get in touch with this individual. Okay. Very quickly. This all transpired in a couple of hours. And you will never guess what it is that he told me. He told me that neither the feds nor the local police had ever reached out to him. Never. I'm sorry. What? You have one of two people who have a recording of the shooter at all, right? At all. And the feds were simply not interested, as they were executing this manhunt, of reaching out to the individual who had footage of him running across the roof. How could that be? Why? Why would that be? Somebody explain to me. make it make sense for me. Maybe in the fog and the chaos, sure. But at no point did they go, hey, I see this really grainy image that's gone viral on Twitter. Maybe I should reach out to the person that made it go viral and see if I can track down that person so I can get clear data, meaning the metadata that exists, which will tell you the exact second that the person was running, to make sure it lines up with my federal timeline that I must be creating. If little old Candace is doing it, then I'm sure the feds at the top are definitely creating a second-by-second timeline just like I am. But no, they never reached out to him. Now I'll tell you what else I discovered, because a lot is going on. And we similarly, by the way, reached out to the person who shot the footage and said, somebody is on the roof. We spoke about that earlier this week. He told us the exact same thing. He says he walked in and gave the footage to the Orem Police Department, okay? Nobody, and they said, you know, we were overwhelmed on that day one, which makes sense. Everybody contacting, calling, someone says, I have this. So it makes sense that he would be on the offense and getting them the footage. But the feds never reached out to him until the 15th. After Governor Cox said the investigation was over and they had the guy, the feds reached out to him and said, hey, you're the one who shot that footage. Yeah. Did you make a police report? He said, yeah, I did. And, oh, really? We didn't know that. What do you mean you didn't know that? That this is the first time the federal government on the 15th decided to reach out to the other person who saw the person climbing the roof? I mean, I saw the person getting into the shooting position. You never reached out to him until September 15th? Yeah, my friends, that looks to me like a cover-up. Not like you're trying to get to the bottom of something. Not with the amount of money that the feds have. You can't tell me that they did not reach out to these two individuals. It makes entirely no sense. There's another piece of this that is getting quite interesting, and I will say that this next piece that I have is in large part thanks to a multitude of leaks that are coming out of Turning Point USA. Now, right away, you might ask, why is that happening? Well, I can tell you in my experience, political organizations sometimes don't recognize that they are not like corporate organizations. And what I mean by that is not whether or not the organization is a corporate, but rather sometimes they get the wrong idea that they can sort of do things that people can do on Wall Street, right? Like if a CEO steps down from Wendy's, you can just replace that person as another CEO and nobody cares. If you're buying chicken nuggets from Wendy's, you don't really care who the CEO is. Doesn't really work like that with political organizations, right? Political, when it comes to politics, people get behind someone because they believe in that individual's ideas. Right? You can't just play a swapsie all the time or think it's just going to go on and you're still going to have that same energy behind you. And so obviously this is a terrible situation and Charlie is gone. But with people not getting answers, right? With people that are working at Turning Point USA not feeling like, okay, are we as an organization fighting? Are we going to speak about the things that Charlie cared about? Are we going to call out the things that we feel are wrong here? They're not wanting to get behind that. They feel that the organization is now being motivated just by money and that this company's priorities have somewhat shifted and that really how people on the outside that are looking in are going, what's going on here? Why are people not more rattled by the lies that are being told? Actually, I think if Charlie were here, he'd be talking about the weird things that were being told about this story, right? Ironically. And so many people have reached out and they spoke about the finances at Turning Point USA. And, you know, I'm not exactly a forensic accountant, but I know that other people, other journalists got really interested in this angle who were similarly receiving leaks and have pushed this off to forensic accountants. And some of the stuff is getting very interesting. But I did want to show you guys this because I think this proves what we have been hearing. It's at least a starting point, an insider who said that they were there and present when Charlie had expressed some concerns about where the money was going. And leading up to that moment, Charlie had by and large completely removed himself outside of the organ of fundraising, which is to say that he, you know, it wasn't something that he necessarily had his finger on. Of course, he always would show up for top donor meetings. He is the face of the company. But in terms of the accounting specifics, he trusted his lieutenants. Of course, something that big, you know, you're clearing $100 million a year, you got to have lieutenants and you have to trust those lieutenants. And of course, sometimes those leaders don't like one another. That's all normal. But then there arrived a moment when Charlie felt that the money was disappearing. allegedly, I'll say allegedly here, but I think we have some proof that shows that. And the excuses that he was being given for the money disappearing wasn't adding up for Charlie. Said another way, the math wasn't mathing, okay? He felt that, again, according to sources, that the company was burning through cash too quickly. And Charlie set about finding out why and how this was happening. So on September 2nd, which is, of course, just 1 week before he lost his life, Charlie surprised the company by announcing that he was putting together a Doge department. Yes, a department of government efficiency like Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy had set out to do. Trump won. They got behind him, right? They said, hey, there's a lot of pork. We don't know where this money is going. People are just accepting checks. Again, this is the whole purpose of the Department of Doge. You put us in there and we're going to figure out how all of these bureaucrats are just wasting tax dollars. Really kind of a nice way of saying we're going to conduct an audit of the government, right? That's the only way to look at what Doge was. It's an audit and then you cut the fat and you see where the money's actually going. Don't listen to me, by the way, because we can read Charlie in his own words. This was a internal memo that went out, signed off by Charlie on September 2nd. I'm going to skip to the relevant portions. He's first and foremost announcing that Dear Team America, effective immediately, again, September 2nd, Justin Strife is taking on a new elevated role with Turning Point USA as its COO. Since joining TPUSA in 2020, Justin has led Turning Point's fundraising division and in more recent years has been involved in some organizational operations, filling the COO role in many ways, but now officially taking on the title and expanded responsibilities. Now we're going to jump to that last big paragraph. He writes, in this role, I have empowered Justin, among other priorities, to engage in an organizational-wide Doge effort. Justin will be assembling a small team to assist in this effort, which is focused on Turning Point USA, one, becoming more efficient, two, becoming more cost-effective, three, unifying organizational success around company-wide metrics and goals, and four, reshaping company culture. I expect many positive changes to come from this forthcoming initiative and Justin's expanded role. Please join me in congratulating Justin on this new role with the organization. So I felt that with all of the rumors that I'm hearing, to see that Charlie was essentially putting together a small team to begin looking at money and ways to be more quote unquote efficient, it's looking like that's relevant, that all of these tips that we are receiving from insiders is accurate. And what we're understanding is that there were a lot of contractors and people essentially who were taking money both ways, who were bringing in money and cutting deals. Said simply, the money was looking funny, okay? And Charlie set out to determine why, which means that others should maybe set out to determine why. Is this department still going? And like I said to you, others are setting out to determine why. There are journalists, forensic accountants that have been hired, and what I have been shown, the preliminary findings are quite astonishing, okay? And I will say this, my sources at Turning Point said something that I found to be crucial, interesting. They said that Charlie wasn't just concerned about where the money was going, but also where the money was coming from. Where the money was coming from. What are we to make of that? Okay. What are we to make of that? What does that mean? Either speaking about companies that were kind of flooding the zone with money so that they could have more influence, but they had questions about those companies. It sounds like there were people who were effectively double agents making money on commissions on both sides of a contract. I've seen a lot, and I'm going to allow the reports to come out next week that people who have really seized upon that and are looking at things. And I think a lot's going to be revealed, like I said, as it should. We want to know everything. We want to know absolutely everything. I'm going to tell you guys a bit more, as well as responding to a lot of what I think are just unfair criticisms of people that are attacking Erica. And I'll tell you why I feel that those criticisms are unfair. But first, I want to throw it to Riverbend Ranch. I told you I met the CEO of this company when I was with Charlie years ago, and we went out to meet him. Wonderful person. Everyone wanted to do something to try and heal. Remember Charlie, and my friends at Riverbend Ranch put together the following tribute to honor him.
We pay tribute to Charlie Kirk, and we celebrate the tremendous good he did in his life. Charlie courageously advocated for the sacred principles of freedom, constructive discourse, truth, family values, and common sense. He taught with humor and wisdom, and backed up his beliefs with data and facts. He set a powerful example of reaching out and talking to those who disagreed with him. We mourn his passing, but what he taught us continues to resonate with even more power.
A message from all of us at Riverbend Ranch.
Also want to tell you guys about PDS debt, because the system is not broken. It's actually rigged. And if you're buried in debt, that's exactly how they want it. Big banks profit when you're desperate. Creditors win when you lose. We don't have to play their game. PDS debt helps you take back control. They've helped hundreds of thousands break free from credit cards, loans, and high interest traps. It's your money. It's your future. It's time to fight for both. PDS debt goes beyond the numbers to understand your unique financial situation and craft a personalized plan that is designed just for you. There is no minimum credit score that's required, which is great. They're here to help you save money, pay off your debt faster, and start putting money back where it belongs, which is obviously in your pocket. PDS debt is rated A plus by the Better Business Bureau. It boasts thousands of five-star reviews on Google, and it holds a five-star rating on Trustpilot. Why? Because PDS has helped hundreds of thousands of people get out of debt. You are just 30 seconds away from being debt-free, so get your free assessment and find out the best option for you right now at pdsdebt.com/Candace. Again, that's pdsdebt.com/Candace, pdsdebt.com/Candace. Okay, I want to at first address, because I've received so many emails. Candace, have you seen this? Have you watched this? And it is Range Day Bro on YouTube. And he had, the video is just absolutely viral. It's got 6 million views. And by the way, I am so happy that it's got 6 million views. Everybody investigating this is exactly what we need. And nobody is going to be perfect. We're going to get things wrong. And we can only work with the information that's given us, that's been given to us. And for whatever reason, it's very limited. So every time anything that I'm debunking here is just because I want to help focus his investigation. But so he presents an argument that you can see a muzzle flash. And there is one element of his video where he shows what he believes to be blood splatter as an entry point on Charlie's neck. So we can watch that, take a listen.
And in that video, you can see the same, what appears to be the bullet coming down, and it does line up with the actual gunshot itself.
So you're not coming gang violence.
Great.
So this video was created by a friend of mine who is a Marine. You'll see him here at the end. This is the angle he is showing the shot coming from, showing where Charlie was sitting, and the angle of the shot, which will correspond with this video here, which unfortunately we will blur out Charlie's face, but we will show what is necessary to prove that this was an entry and exit wound. So you'll see him circle the highlighted area right there, and you'll see the exit wound corresponding after, a split second after, as it would from an entry and exit wound. So in this footage, you can clearly see that Charlie is shot from his back right, and there is blood splatter coming out of the entry wound.
Okay. So what I can immediately help with, because I have so much footage and clearer footage of that, is that's actually not blood splatter. And I was very surprised by this. It's his necklace. That is his necklace. And it was one of the things that struck me as odd. And I saw the back footage, and then I have clear footage from the front. And the necklace goes first. And if I'm looking at it, it looks like it breaks from here, and then it comes up and it whips up. That is Charlie's necklace chain. So I hope that that sort of helps focus that. And I don't know if that helps change your opinion at all, but I wanted to add that. The second thing is I wanted to show you a photo, a different angle of where that flash that he is looking at came from. Because the thing that I don't understand is that particular window doesn't open. So if you're saying it's inside, and I might be wrong, so you can see, and I hope I have this right. If I'm wrong, please let me know, and I will adjust it immediately. But that window is from that zone, which they call like the flag hall, which is where that person actually shot the footage. He's on the other side of it, where we saw the person running across the roof. That's basically above the underpass. And so you can see from this angle that those windows, I don't know if we have a more front forward picture of that, Skylar. If we don't, it's okay. But from everything that I could see, those windows don't open. So if it's coming from inside, if that's where you're saying, and I had that location correctly, again, I'm happy to update this if I'm wrong, then we should see broken glass. So let me know if I'm right about that. I will say there was another piece And this part I have not been able to debunk, but I am sending someone there to get me similar footage, which is when you discuss a suspicious looking bush. So I will let you, I will let Range Day Bro present that theory. Take a listen.
I want to take a look at this photo next. This guy is talking about this bush up here in the top left of this photo, and he zooms in on it and he's stating that it does look suspicious. It does look suspicious. It looks like there is a person right here, and it looks like there is a rifle right here that the person is holding, a hand here, support hand, sort of very blurry image, but you can clearly make out that this is not just a bush. This is a human skin tone right here, and this correlates with a human head and hair and a rifle in the exact kind of crucifix shape of an AR-15 with an optic on it mounted up.
So what I can say, and I'm looking at my minute-to-minute text messages because I sent somebody there on the ground to get me pictures of that bush today, and I agree with you. In the smaller, in the photos that I'm looking at today, the bush, you can kind of see through it. And in the image that you have, granted, it is grainy, it doesn't seem like you can see through it. So I am interested in that, and I am prodding that narrative, and I will let you know what I come up with. Anyways, again, the point of me doing that was just to help further direct your theories. Everybody's is coming out with ideas, and I think that's great. Until the feds answer our questions, until we see more footage of what took place that day, all of us need to stay on top of it, because we all sense that something is very wrong and we are not getting the truth. One more thing that I'd like to share with you guys. You will recall yesterday during the comment section, we got a tip, a young woman that said that that doorbell footage was intentionally presented to the public only partially, and that the reality is that there was more footage which showed the person that they allege is Tyler Robinson walking with a woman who they don't know who that is, and that he changes clothes. So I'm not sure if there was more footage on the side of the house, there's another angle, but there is allegedly footage of Tyler changing clothes and he is with an unidentified woman, a woman. What I will say is I have established connection with that individual, and it's a solid lead, and it's only going to get more interesting in terms of who is involved in that cover up locally, like a Utah person involved in that cover up, which is another piece of this puzzle that I find to be fascinating. I will have more for you guys next week as we continue this. I always want to make sure that we give people an opportunity to respond and to answer what it is that we are putting out there and making sure that our reports are accurate. And I will have more for you on that next week. I do also want to address people who are inundating me speaking about Erica Kirk. And I think the reason why this was catalyzed was because of a fundraising email and text messages went out and people found it to be distasteful and like a fundraising off of his death. Okay, first and foremost, the reason why I said, and I meant it genuinely, was to pray for Erica a couple of days ago. And I said she is stepping into a role, a CEO and the chairman of a company that got bigger than Charlie by everything that I am understanding and just having been there, I saw it happening, and a company that she's going to have to learn in 4 seconds how this whole thing's where it is a machine, okay? Those emails that you saw are tech, that was not written by Erica Kirk. That will be an entire department, and these are emails when you fundraise. I've had fundraising emails go out with my face and my name on them. They are not authored by Erica Kirk, and I want you guys to know that, right? I just think it's like, I don't know, it just feels so unfair to me to assign this the amount of pressure that is on her right now. She has not come out and said anything to me that makes her suspicious, because I understand how that organ works, and I understand how people, when they are motivated by money, how they don't even think about these things. It can be so gross. I mean, I have really gotten into arguments with people when I felt that they were using my face and representing things, and I was getting pushback from the public, and I'm like, I would have never done this. I would have never made that decision. And yet I'm going to be the person that gets all the flack for the decision that you made. I've had those arguments. And so when I see this go out, irrespective of how you feel, you should know that those decisions are not made by Erica. That's what it means to step into a company of that size and that scale. Okay. Their focus is going to be something different. And she has had, I think, a tremendous amount of grace in the speech that she gave, which I felt was very inspiring. And we should similarly have grace, give her time to get her, first and foremost, the adjustment in her life. She is a mother, first and foremost, right? This is what she was doing. She was a mom, And Charlie was on the road, and these were Charlie's concerns. You know, men carry the weight of the world on their shoulders, and they were following that. This was a faithful couple. This is a woman who consulted a priest and prayed when she felt that somebody had put a hex on her husband. And I just think everyone is being a little unfair by trying to assign so much ill will towards someone who hasn't done anything to warrant that. And I would have been the first person. If I felt that anything was there, I would have said something. Truly, in every capacity, and of course, I'm not in their marriage, but I know that Charlie was very happy with Erica. And I know that Erica was a reason. She was, you know, pushing Charlie, as women do, to really think through his ideas and think through what it was that he believed in one way or the other. And by and large, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I had this relationship that I had with Charlie that I had with Erica, of course, because neither he or I were married when we were hitting the road together. But she made him happy. And I just want you guys to know that. And so when you're putting stuff out there, just imagine that you're in her shoes. Imagine the size and the scale of that company. And imagine that on top of everything, you've got people that are digging into every layer of your life and not necessarily getting everything right. I can't stop reading conspiracies about me and my husband. I've read that my husband is Jewish. I've read that my husband is a Freemason. I read that our marriage is fake and staged. And I've read that I'm funded by Russia. I'm funded by Qatar. I'm funded by Andrew Tate, because Andrew Tate is also from the UK. And my husband knew him before he met me, which means absolutely nothing. I mean, it never stops. And to be thrown into fame, I think, is very difficult when you're not pursuing it yourself. And to be thrown in such a horrific way, it just can't be fun. So I'm just reminding us all to just have a little bit of grace is all. Anyways, you guys, before I get into more of your comments, I want to tell you about Just Thrive, because the biggest health secret that is not talked about is that everything starts in your gut. Every day, your gut is fighting a silent war against processed food, work stress, toxins that are in the air that we breathe. You guys know that when your gut is in trouble, the whole body feels it. Most probiotics do not actually work because 99% of the traditional brands just die in your stomach acid before they even reach your gut. And that's what makes Just Thrive's spore-based probiotic completely different. Just Thrive is the only probiotic that is clinically proven to arrive 100% alive in your gut. It does something that no other probiotic can. It turns your gut into an antioxidant factory, creating protective compounds exactly where you need them most, which means better digestion, healthy immunity, more energy, and easy weight management. You can take Just Thrive probiotic in the form of a capsule or a berry-flavored gummy. From their award-winning probiotic to their full line of gut, immune, and brain health supplements, Just Thrive has been fighting to make Americans healthy again with science-backed solutions that you can trust. To join the gut health revolution and take control of your health today, visit justthrivehealth.com and you'll save 20% if you use my promo code, which is Candace, at checkout. And you'll see the difference for yourself, or you will get a full product refund without any questions asked. So you can take control today with Just Thrive. Again, visit justthrivehealth.com and use promo code Candace at checkout. All right, you guys, what is on your mind? Let me get to your comments, what you guys are thinking about. Kelly Martini writes, Candace, you are the epitome of truth. You know, the epitome of truth would be Jesus Christ, but I will say that following truth it's an ugly business. It really is. And the vultures have absolutely come out. I mean, it is just such a crazy thing to make me guilty of investigating Charlie's murder. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you investigate this? Because everybody's lying and we're not going to allow it. How about that? How about we're just not going to allow everyone to lie? Curated Journey writes, thank you, Candace, for the work that you have put into telling us the truth. How do you deal with all these people that are trying to lie about the friendship that you have with Charlie and do everything that they can to turn the people against you through the media? God bless you. I just know that it's a ticking time bomb, right? Before they're all exposed. And I think a financial audit is interesting. I think there were a lot of pastors that were around Charlie who weren't exactly honest about whether or not they were financially motivated to say some certain things. You know, a lot of these organizations that are like Christian and Jews organizations, funds that are coming together have been interesting. You know, Operation Mocking Pastor is a real thing. And I know that at the end of the day, my hands are clean. My hands are absolutely clean. And so I don't care about people that are lying, because a lie always has to sprint, right? A lie always has to sprint. And it's because it's fearful. It's very afraid, because people only have to hear the truth once to know that it is the truth. They have to hear the lie over and over. It begs repetition, a lie, but the truth doesn't care. And I am on the side of truth. So there's that. And also because my relationship with Charlie was real, actually. A shout out to Taylor Lorenz. I obviously didn't watch what everybody else was saying about Charlie after his assassination because I was absolutely wrecked. It was a very tough week for me. And I didn't even feel motivated to get out of bed. And but Taylor Lorenz said, she's like, why do I feel like Candace is the only one? I think she said this on X. I don't know if we have that tweet. I didn't ask you to pull it. But like she did say, why do I feel like Candace is the only one that actually cared about Charlie? And she's the only tribute because I mean, like, that's the reality of politics. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's a disgusting business. And Charlie had a better stomach for it than I did. That's the reality. She wrote, Taylor Lorenz, it's wild that Candace is the only right wing figure that I've seen posting in a way where she seems genuinely devastated to lose Charlie as a friend. And it's because you can't fake it. And a lot of people are faking it right now. And it's difficult for me to process, which I have not, that he is actually gone. Like that doesn't feel real to me yet, but I know I will get to that stage eventually. James Moran writes, greetings from across the pond in Ireland, Candace, and keep up the great work. God bless. Thank you, James. Renee writes, have you covered the Amazon listing from September 9th for a book about Charlie with all the details, which were pretty accurate, of what happened on the 10th? I have a picture of a screenshot supposedly verified. Yeah, I think Amazon came out and said that it was a technical error because I guess you can adjust the dates. To be honest with you, I didn't look into it because there's 1,000 ways that you could run with this. And I wanted to keep the pressure on the feds and I wanted to keep the pressure on getting as much information as I could about what took place on that day. But I know there are people that have made a lot of videos about that. And so maybe I'll watch one of those. Bree Barrera writes, so glad that I caught you live today. I work nights, so I never wake up early enough, but I wanted to let you know that I found you 2 years ago through Charlie Kirk and you changed my life. Keep doing what you're doing. I love you. Reality is Charlie changed my life. He really did. And I can't think about being in politics without Charlie. So that's why it feels like I have to accept that a piece of my life died, like years of my life died with him a little bit. And he was like one of the only like two people in politics that I can even stand because he was a straight shooter with me. Thistle writes, I wanted to ask your thoughts about the fact that, quote unquote, notes on bullets have been everywhere while our representatives are signing the bombs they drop on innocent people. Just a thought. Thank you. Yeah, it does seem to bear their signature. Like Nikki Haley signing bombs. People going over there sign bombs that are going to be dropped and killing children. And so, yeah, it's been a weird new thing that everyone's doing, which is strange and feels very forced and fake to me. Totally agree. Dave Matthews writes, what would you do if there was another video footage of someone else on the rooftop? Would you take it? Thank you for all that you do, praying for your family, praying for the Kirks. What do you mean? Would I take it? I want the truth. If you're suggesting that you have the footage, please send it. You can send it to us, tips@CandaceOwens.com. You're inundated, guys. So please, if you can, if you're sending us a tip, hopefully it's related to this investigation. Tips like have you seen this video or YouTube, whatever, that's best reserved for like commenting on our Instagram and our social media pages. We'll see it there. The tips line we want to keep for actual tips related to this investigation, not because I'm not so grateful that you guys are writing all these emails, but our tips inbox is getting so full that it's taking us a lot of time to go through it. So I'm just trying to figure out how to filter so we know where to look for, hey, have you seen this video versus, hey, we have an actual tip related to this investigation. Ben Auten writes, your interview with Charlie Kirk on PragerU showed up on my YouTube algorithm. It's great to watch it again. Also, does anyone else find etchings on the bullet casings conveniently found at all of the occurrences of violent crimes lately quite suspicious? Indeed, Ben, indeed. You and Thistle both agree that that is very suspect. It's, like I said, it's starting to feel like a government signature a little bit, right? Miranda New writes, the anger and hate towards Erica is insane. She's a beacon of light in this dark world, as are you, Candace. I assume Erica also thinks all of this is weird too, or she would have stopped you by now. All love. That is correct. Erica has my number. Erica actually recently started following me. It was another thing that they were like, Candace doesn't even follow Charlie. Yeah, because I unfollowed everyone, but I announced my book, Blackout. I wanted to make it like a cool thing. I unfollowed everybody. And then I didn't start refollowing people on all my social media pages. You will realize I'm like the only person you know that follows very few people because I realized that I was engaging in social media in a way where I was hearing everybody else's ideas as opposed to sharing my own. And so it's just like the ridiculous angles that they've taken. But anyways, yeah, I have always been very clear. And that's another thing. If Erica was like, don't say anything, or if she lied about anything publicly, if she was like, no, Charlie like wasn't attending mass, like I would be like, okay, it was a little weird. why is she massaging? But she's not doing that. So I just feel that it's unfair. And people that are not used to constantly being on stage and presenting like Charlie was, like that he had the it factor, you know, Charlie would get up there and the room was alive. And now we're judging the people that he loved in his life who don't do that for a living. And I just really just feels to me like it's unfair. So I wanted to express that and just say that. And yeah, anyways, next week we will not be on air tomorrow because last week was a rare Friday and I like to have my Fridays off, but next week we will continue in earnest. Again, if you have something pertaining to the investigation, you were there, you were a police officer, you're a federal, you're in the government, you're fed, and you are watching this and you know that what I'm saying is true, please email us tips@CandiceOwens.com. If you guys would like to support us in any capacity, always can head to CandiceOwens.com, join the book club, learn about vaccines if you're a parent, or buy yourself some CIA merch so that we can be arrested by Laura Loomer and her tweets be reported by Laura Loomer. Beyond that, you guys, thank you so much. Thank you guys for just being supportive in general. You really have helped me get through the past 2 weeks, and we will not allow the real legacy of Charlie Kirk to die. Nor will we allow them to rewrite history, nor will we allow them to rewrite present, which is this investigation. We'll see you next week.